Good morning. Good morning this Reformation Day. We want to celebrate the hallmarks of the Reformation. I put an outline in your bulletins. By the Word of God, by the grace of God, and through faith. I want to talk to you about those three different areas. God has got good things that He wants to do in your life. I guarantee you that. It's so true. And He starts off when He works, and we see this from the Reformation, that He works through the amazing Bible, my Bible. Hope you all got a Bible. And that Word of God is just such an incredible gift. God speaks through His Word to us. It's one of what we call the means of grace. It's how He actually gets the grace. He reveals Jesus Christ through the Word of God and through His Spirit, and that Word actually works inside of us. And Jesus actually pointed the people and the disciples back to the Word of God. He was getting into a discussion with some of the Jewish leaders one time. This is from John. It's in chapter 5. And He says, "You guys search the Scriptures because in them you think you find life." And He said, "These are the very same Scriptures that refer to Me." And that's what Martin Luther found and others in the Reformation. They saw that this Word of God, whether you have the Old Testament or whether you have the New Testament, they saw there was incredible power in it. And it revealed God's purpose and God's plan in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, in my work that we have done in the past in translating the Bible, we have seen the amazing power of God's Word. There was one translation project in one of the countries that we were in. They actually had Muslim people who were doing the translation. And it was absolutely fascinating because these guys, even though they entered the project and they were doing translation as a Muslim, they became Christians because they looked in the pages of the Bible and they're like, "Wow, this is incredible. I am encountering Jesus Christ in the pages of these words, in these words that are written, that have been written there for thousands of years." It is an amazing gift. And I realize that if you just listen to what is in, you know, media, you listen to what's on the TV or whatever people might say, it is such a misunderstood book. You know, we don't realize really how amazing and really wonderful this is. Let me just share the veracity and the wonder of the Word of God. Now, you look at this, we have Old and New Testament. Jesus was referring to the Old Testament. New Testament hadn't even been written yet. And the apostles, when they wrote what we have now is the New Testament. And they were writing Scripture and they referred to everything that they got in the New Testament from that Old Testament. And you know, we have over 14,000 manuscripts and shreds of manuscripts that are about the Old Testament. And we have people in Stuttgart and we have people in England and around the world, scholars that do nothing but study these manuscripts. That's all they do. And they've been doing this for decades. And we keep finding more evidence. There's some 5,000, almost 6,000 out manuscripts and shreds of manuscripts of the New Testament. Check this out. They have never, ever found anything that contradicts what is written. Now that is over thousands of years. That is absolutely incredible. And put that in perspective. Now I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you're in training, did you guys have to read the Iliad, the Odyssey, remember that? You might have had to, I actually had to read that in high school. I remember getting assigned that and, you know, kind of went through that. And we just accepted that as fact. Gave it to you, well, here, this is a wonderful classic writing, you know. You know, there are only 643 copies of that in existence. And out of those, 764 of the lines are in abject disagreement. And here you have the Scriptures, you have this rock-solid evidence from God, and it's not only the evidence, I mean, you could have it in your head, but it is the Spirit of God that unlocks it within you. And unless the Spirit of God actually reveals that to you and opens up what? That it is about Christ. And it is about Jesus Christ and the Savior. And that's what Martin Luther found in that. You see, he had known the Scriptures. He was a priest. He went into a monastery. He was a church man. He was really churchy, but he didn't have Christ. And when Christ revealed himself through the power of the Holy Spirit in those scriptures, he became alive. And he realized, whoa, I missed the grace of God. This is incredible. The amazing grace of God has saved my soul. You know, there is a word in Scripture I want to share with you. It's actually a phrase. It says, in Christ. We use that a lot. It's found 120 times in the New Testament. And it refers to somebody, a person, who has found salvation through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. In Christ. And I want to explain it to you. Let me explain it to you in this way, because there are so many people who have been blessed, should I say, by the grace of God. You know, people who have histories like you wouldn't believe. You take Abraham. Abraham was an idol worshiper. He was a liar. You take Moses. Moses started off his life early on being a murderer. You have Paul. Paul was one that he actually sat by while watching people being stoned to death because they didn't have the religion that he had. And he actually persecuted them and sought them out and put them in jail. I mean, we have David, who was an adulterer and then a murderer. Man, you have all these people with a rap sheet like you wouldn't believe. What separates them from the rest of the world is they found the grace of God in Christ Jesus. It is an amazing gift. And I want to give you this example of the grace of God. My wife Jill helped me with this. On this sheet of paper, I realize you can't see it. It's got all sorts of words on it. It's got cheating, it's got lying, it's got doubting, it's got hatred, it's got impatient. Not all these are mine, but there's a lot of them that are on here that I can definitely relate to, if I'm honest and if I'm upfront. This is who I am. I can't hide it. I might try to hide it, but other people probably know it even better than I do. Now, here's the thing about this. This is me. This is the black written on the white sheet of paper. Now, what this does is this goes into God's Word. This is in the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God never changes. God spoke that Word. He's not going to take it back. Isn't it good that He doesn't take it back? Isn't it good that God didn't sit up there and He's thinking, you know, that law thing, got that wrong. I need to issue an update. You got an operating system on your phone? How many times does it update? How many times does your computer try to update when you're trying to do something important? You know, isn't it good that God didn't have to give updates? What He wrote is perfect, eternal. That's a problem for us because we are under that eternal Word. And that Word says that I have fallen short. I am not what God would have me to be. I am not that perfect image of what God would desire us to be and has actually called and commanded us to be. That is powerful. That is reality. But here's the bigger picture for those that find the grace of God in Jesus Christ. There's another image and there's another picture of me and of any person that is in Christ. And it is someone that is red like this. They are red because they are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you notice that you cannot see any of that writing. There is nothing there. It's been washed away. It is clean. It is perfect. Not by anything that I have done, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ has washed away everything that was against you. And you are free. You are free by the grace of God. And that red card, just like the black one, is in Christ. It's in the Word of God. That is the full revelation of God. The full revelation of God is the law, what He says, and that slays us. But the full revelation of God is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And when you see that, it sets you free. It set them free in the Reformation. They saw that and they received that by faith. The Holy Spirit worked a solid, amazing faith in them. And I want to give you an example of what that faith would mean for you in your everyday life and for me. Because God calls us to live by faith. It's not just enough just to say, yeah, I believe it's the Word of God. It's not just enough to say that, oh yeah, the grace of God, Jesus Christ, yeah, he's a Savior. God says he's your Savior, and he wants you to walk by faith. He's chosen to save us by faith, that we trust him, we walk, we follow him. Jesus said in the reading of the gospel, he said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, he said. What does that mean? What does it mean to continue in the word? We will not do it perfectly. It's impossible. But he yet calls us to do that. Now, I have an example that I would give you. I looked this example up and I checked it out, and I think there is, it's true. It's an example that I'll use about elephants. About how elephants are trained. Elephants are interesting creatures. The way that they train an elephant when they're little, this would be in India where they're used for all sorts of tasks and labor, very powerful. They take them when they're very little and they put a chain to them or a rope and they put this stake in the ground. They drive the stake in the ground and they connect the rope. And the baby elephant's not able to pull that out. So the baby elephant learns. And what it does is it decides, okay, I cannot fight against this. It is going to control me. And it just submits and it allows itself to be controlled by that connection that it has to the stake and the chain. What happens when that elephant grows up? It's huge. It's massive. It could be a stake the size of a telephone pole buried in the ground, and it would have the strength to pull it up. But what has happened is that it has been conditioned and it has been controlled, and it will not pull it up. You have a little stake in the ground and it's tied to it, and it will just stay there, even though it has every ability within it to rip that out and just go away. It will not. And I think there's an example there for us as we live in faith, because our beliefs, our thoughts, our ideas, whether it's about Jesus Christ or whether it's about temptation or whether it's about sin or whatever it is, what is your stake? I thought about this. What is the stake that you have that's holding you, that controls you, that you say, I cannot change? I can't do that. It's beyond me. I'm not able to, you know, it's always going to turn out the way that it did. It's always going to end up in an argument, or it's always going to, you know, it's just, we get these things in our mind and we keep thinking the way they are, and what's happened is you are tied to that stake. And God says, don't be tied to that stake. You are free in faith, and God says he can deal with anger. God says he can deal with lust. God says he can deal with your sadness. He can give you joy. He can give you peace. He can give you freedom. In the Reformation, they were dealing with some powerful oppositions. That first hymn that we sang, how many times did they mention demons and devils and all the things that were coming against them? And they said, no, we're going to stand. Here we stand. We're going to live in the freedom of God. We are new creatures in Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for you that he is working. How is he working it? Through faith. And those beautiful promises of God are so incredible. And when you grab hold of them, when you follow God, he said, continue in my word. When you say, I'm going to continue in God's word. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give him my life. When somebody's dissing and when there's a whole bunch of gossip and they're all talking trash and stuff at work, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to redirect the conversation. I'm going to redirect it to be something positive. I'm going to share something that's good, that's gracious. If somebody's really sad and depressed, we can come to them. We can say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, well, that's all right. Hey, prayer works. I'll pray for you, and God can change that situation. I believe that. That's the life of faith. That's walking in faith. And it's built upon two things. It's built upon the Word of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, none of which we have had part of. We didn't earn. We didn't do. God says this is a gift. Trust me. God made us to trust him. God made us in Christ to be people of faith. I pray that you would get a hold of God's promises, that you would let that word get in you, and let that word just speak to your heart and mind to wash over your guilt, wash over your fear. We are new creatures in Christ. We certainly are. We're living examples of that through the Reformation. May God work that and bless that in you in Jesus' name. Amen.